It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and ones we can count on to help us live our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like a Black Opal beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too, because one shout out leads to another and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Well, folks, I have to say I am as excited about this episode as I have been as excited about an episode in recent weeks, months, or years. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. Today, we have one of the rising talents here at Sports Ethos, Mark Camaro, who's been handling our Dynasty coverage for so long, and I can't wait. Doc and I just did a Dynasty rankings episode the other day. It was really good. We ranked 11 through 20 in Dynasty leagues, and we're going to find out how bad we were with our rankings. And with that out of the way, I actually want to pay some bills here real quick. We got a long, wide-ranging interview that we're going to do. We're going to cover all sorts of stuff. I want to get some bills out of the way so we can just get right into the basketball talk. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack, poker, unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today, get in the action, use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline, the game starts here. Okay. So, Mark Camaro, I've been just watching your work, and you know, folks who know me, they know that I deal with thoracic outlet syndrome, and I don't have quite the hours in the day that I once had, so I'm not able to kind of just get around and do the rounds as well, and we're working through all the treatments, and it's all good. You know, I think I'm improving and not complaining here today, but I am complaining at least a little bit about not having actually been able to talk with you, not face-to-face, but I guess microphone to microphone here. We get to do it here on the podcast, so I'm extraordinarily excited. I'm a huge fan of your work. One thing, and I know Doc can attest to this, is when you work in this industry, especially as long as we have, that you get a certain respect for people based on the way that they do their work, and the way that you've conducted yourself here at Ethos has just been, you know, part of the footprint and the blueprint over here of really just trying to work hard, develop good product, and let the product lead the way. So I really, really appreciate everything you've done, not just for us here at Sports Ethos, but for folks out there in the fantasy space. So as we get to know each other here a little bit and talk about some dynasty and just regular old hoops and fantasy hoop stuff here, how did fantasy become a part of your life? And how and why did you become a fantasy and especially a dynasty expert?
I appreciate the kind words, but when I first started playing fantasy basketball in my early college years, so that would be 2012, where some people I played pickup with were like, hey, you want to join a fantasy basketball league? We're going to play through ESPN and just all learn it together. And of course, I was down. I was very into fantasy football and got into the fantasy basketball space that way. A few years down the road, you know, I read about dynasty leagues where you get to keep your roster year over year. And I was always that kid with Madden or even whatever sports game franchises I enjoyed actually the more like my franchise mode and the dynasty modes rather than the actual gameplay elements. I would almost basically sim through the leagues and the games, but do all like signings and the trades and build the best team. And that's basically dynasty. At that time, none of my friends were interested. So I went out online, found some leaks, and then in the past couple of years, just have really dove more and more into dynasty and had a chance to work for y'all and just get dynasty countdown, dynasty content out there. I felt that a lot of the dynasty content sometimes didn't always, I guess, more fantasy angled versus more how do these players actually look on the court and how are they developing? And I'm a really firm believer of analyzing the on-court play and then translating that to fantasy rather than just looking at just the stats. And stats are obviously important. That's what we draft for production. That's what we're building our teams for. But I felt that was a little missing, and I felt I could bring that element into the space.
It sounds like one of the things I've appreciated about your work is you do have an eye for the game. And so I can only imagine looking at, especially rookies, we do that. Me and Steve do that a little bit later in the season, the calendar season, I should say. But as you're doing your work, you're really, I guess, film focused. And how does that translate into your work at Sports Ethos? Like, if somebody's not really familiar with your work, what you do here, and how you do it, what's the approach with the dynasty coverage here at Sports Ethos?
The approach with dynasty, and I think really fantasy basketball in general, is I feel like in today's age where it's so easy to pull stats or pull advanced stats, you can just list these stats and you can interpret data and stats however you want. And you can sometimes find the stats that make your case for a player stronger or narrative. Where I think it's more important to, yes, those are important. And it's important to know also what the stats mean, but also watch the games, know what the players are actually doing on the court, because not everything always shows up on stats. And in Dynasty, when you're trying to project a player's role, a player's minutes going forward, how they're going to fit into a team, especially how younger prospects are developing, you have to watch the games and just, you don't really have a great stats base to go off of. And college to NBA stat translation can be, it's a scouting game. It's a, I don't want to say guessing game, but it's an art, not a science. So you have to be able to watch the tape and then have a good understanding of where the NBA is going, what are these teams looking for, and even how the salary cap works to know what players could move where and how that can work and how that's going to affect the team state and players' production eventually. Because at the end of the day, we are going to care about their production.
So, Doc, how worried are you that our dynasty ranks are just crap?
I didn't like mine myself, so I would assume that someone else is going to like them even less.
Well, let's dig deeper into this. Let's figure out where we might have gone right or wrong. And I don't know, Mark, if you've got our ranks up in front of you. I'm sure Andre has them somewhere in front of us somewhere. Producer Andre Limos, that is. I'll go in with a really just general question. Let's get a big tasty meatball out on the table for listeners. Bigger name rookies. Obviously, this isn't the class for that. That was last year and next year. But in this year's class, who's your big name guy that everybody already knows about that might not, people not listening to this might not know about if they haven't really been paying attention to the rookies or whatever, but like in the world of rookie analysis, who's the big name rookie that you're high on?
As you mentioned, this class isn't as strong at the top. So I almost want to say no one here. I think that's almost the fairest answer, but there are some intriguing names still. I think some names that because this class has been discussed as not good, people are kind of sleeping a little bit on. So the first one is Reed Sheppard, who was an insane knockdown shooter at Kentucky, hit over 50% of his threes, which is, even for the college line, that's absurd. That's crazy. And had some really eye-popping steal numbers as well as some playmaking. So all his advanced stats just scream, this guy is going to be a stud. The issue is he's about 6'2", 6'3", in shoes, not really much greater wingspan. So he's an interesting scout in that regard, but I think he is going to translate and will provide some great spacing on the Rockets. As a Rockets fan, I was very happy with that selection. And yeah, I'm really interested to see how he fits into our team, where we have a lot of that length and size and defenders, but we really need that shooting. I think he could force his way in the minutes sooner rather than later.
Now, I kind of remembered you might be a Rockets fan, and there might be a certain Rockets player that I'm controversial over.
Well, were you going to ask him about Alpi Shingun and which one of us is right?
That's exactly the question.
First of all, Mark, why are you a Rockets fan?
Well, I grew up in Houston pretty much my entire life, and I've only spent 1 year living outside the city. So, I think in the day's day and age, it's easy enough to become a fan of teams outside your city, but I still like that. Follow the team you grew up and follow your hometown team. So
Nice.
Yeah, Rockets.
And is Shingun getting traded? Is he any good? Am I overrating him? Like, what is he, the next mini Jokic? Where are we at with Shingun?
So before this season, I was with Brew on the train that I didn't think Shingun would be able to be passable enough defensively where he'd be worth building around. And I think we saw, you know, we had Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, Amen Thompson. They all saw good minutes. And the Rockets were a good defense with Shingun. I don't think they were a good defense because of Shingun. But I don't think he limited the defensive side of the ball really at all and played his role. I don't think he's a good defensive center by any means, but I think he demonstrated that he can stay on the court and not hamper your defense and still provide enough there where he is worth building around on the offensive end. And some of our moves maybe don't indicate that, with us being interested in Brook Lopez last offseason. There were even some rumors in the draft process that we might be interested in Donovan Klingon, which was pretty baffling to me. But I feel pretty confident saying the Rockets are going to try to build around Shingun and get players that make sense around him. And he is going to be that hub and that usage focal point, which means, yeah, I was pretty much with you, Doc, on your ranking of Shingun. I think you had him around that 13-15 range, which is, I think, where I have him about. So I am more of a believer in him at least having more staying power as someone who's going to be built around for the Rockets. Well,
I feel great. I feel amazing after that.
Validated. You're totally validated. And I feel terrible because I'm not. No. As the odd man out here, I do think that when they added Dylan Brooks, came in incredible shape. Fred Van Vliet, just an amazing. I think I got 5 blocks in a game last year. He's like 5'2". You've got other players that really move well, and you've got a coach in Ime Udoka that's doing defense as a mandatory requirement to be on the floor. It couldn't have been better for Shingun to step into that kind of an environment. I mean, it was the exact opposite environment of the previous season. My kind of closing point on that, what I think it'll really hinge on, not just like this year, but next year, is it's correct to try to see what you have in Shingun and build around him. I love that usage focal point term. I think I don't know if you got that somewhere else or if that was something out of your own mind. That's a great way to put it. If you're going to put all your usage into one player, my question / theory, especially watching Sabonis here locally, is how sustainable is it over the long term in a championship context when the guy getting the credit and the guy getting the stats and the guy, you know, that you're sort of building, and everybody's got to be really, really good defensively around that player to make it all work. Do people start getting animosity? Does it start to crack at a high leverage level? Can you actually get up and over a conference finals level of play when that player can be isolated? When the leverage is high, when the team's going to just go at that player over and over and over again in a 7-game series, what will that work? And does Houston's tapping of the brakes in these little time periods that Mark laid out so well, is it them knowing that and kind of hedging their bets? So we'll see. I think in like a year or two, we'll kind of get the big picture of whether Alpi can be that guy or not. If either of you would like to add anything after that long monologue regarding Alpi, please feel free.
I'm glad you realized that was a long monologue. I thought maybe
that's all you got.
I thought maybe you blacked out for a minute.
Or no, I did.
No, I won the debate. No, that was a very well spoken long monologue. No, I think you covered. I think we've covered Alpi Shingun pretty. Mark, do you have anything else to say about Shingun?
Yeah, I was just gonna say your point about building to a championship contender. Yeah, I don't think Alperen Shingun can be your best player on a championship team. But there's only, 5 or 6 of those players max in the NBA probably, unless you have very ideal roster construction, which I think is more pie in the sky. So, I don't know if that's your ultimate goal for a lot of teams. I think if you're being realistic with yourself, it's just, it's really hard to get a quote unquote best player on a title team. There's only so many of those players.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential and then threw some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and ones we can count on to help us live our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like a Black Opal beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too, because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
Well, we saw what happened with Mikal Bridges in Brooklyn last year, too. That was the thought there. Like, oh, he's going to be the best player on our team. He's just not built to be that guy. I have a question. And this is a very general question, but what's your overall general strategy? Like, are you a... Do you go all in on youth like I do, or are you a combination of youth and veterans, or are you more try to win this year and take as many good old players as you can get?
I'm actually, I would say none of those. I'm more of just value oriented. Wherever that comes, whether it's youth, whether it's veterans, whether it's injured players that people maybe aren't buying in on. So, and obviously team state plays a role in that. Your older players are normally going to be better. So if you're in win now, yeah, I'm going to probably be acquiring older veterans who can produce for me. If I'm rebuilding, I'm going to excuse that veteran older players in terms of youth. But I care more about acquiring value. And I'm kind of, the way I've always thought about this for Dynasty, you know, if you go into a startup draft and you assume kind of everything's balanced, everyone kind of starts with the same value at the beginning. Their team's all going to be roughly even value. So my goal is to acquire excess value at each draft stop, at each extra opportunity, at each trade, at each free agent pickup, to make sure my value of my team is greater than everyone else in the league. So that's kind of what I'm in the game for. And which kind of is weird. You know, people talk about like trading too as, oh, try to make it win-win for each side. I'm kind of like, no, I want to make sure I win and I feel confident that I am winning the trade, which... maybe that sounds very antithesis to getting a trade done, but that's just where your own player evaluations come from. And then I know you mentioned youth, Doc, and I'm someone who I would probably say I stay away from youth just because I think dynasty managers tend to see, I guess, be the most optimistic on youth and see the upside scenarios, which are very important. Hitting that upside matters a ton for these prospects, but I feel like I tend to see more the median or realistic outcomes and then kind of arrange my team building with that in mind, which generally means I'm lower on youth than people in my leagues.
Yeah, I've spoken like a true ringer right there. You don't want this guy in your fantasy leagues, folks, but you do want to read him. Okay, let's switch gears. I want to hear about Chet Holmgren. He obviously, you know, goes from 0 to 82 games. That's just fascinating, phenomenal. And it was a pretty apparent right in the summer league action that he was that guy. He was really good. Now ranking him and where people were going to, you know, just take a shot and see if they could get him. You know, they, the people that reached, they won. And then as we saw throughout the season, he just played a second fiddle to Wemby, and it was a little unfortunate, I'll use that word, because I think Chet's really fascinating NBA player. So now Isaiah Hartenstein is in. So that's in the micro picture going to have an impact. And then what do you think this all does to his macro outlook? So like the next 2 to 3 years, I'm you got to imagine looking at Holmgren that it's like a, not a blank canvas, but like, where do you go with it? If you're the Thunder, you could kind of do a few different things really well. So where do you think this all heads, both in the micro and the macro?
We'll talk about the macro first. I think that's a little easier. And I mean, I love Chet Holmgren and what he brings to the table. We see the league is trending towards players who can do a bunch of things well. Hello, Celtics. You have a bunch of players who can pass, dribble, shoot, defend. That's where I feel like the league is trending to. And you know, players without holes in their game are becoming more and more valuable. And Chet, I think, shows he has can do all that with his size and his length. But he also has some pretty good ball skills as well in dribbling. So if he's going to develop into a player who deserves more usage and is worthy of that with his offensive skill set, I think it's going to happen regardless of, you know, if Isaiah Hartenstein is there for the long term or not. If Chet is that good, he's going to show us he's that good. I mean, does that seem like a fair interpretation to you both?
I mean, I love Chet. I was all in on Chet last year. And I don't know if I'm as all in on Chet now that, well, I think Hartenstein being there is going to, it's got to have some impact, right? Hopefully it's not a big one. And then I hope Chet can stay healthy, you know, for 80 games again this year. But unlike the guy we were talking about before, Şengün, I do think that Chet, in, you know, 3 years from now, probably be good enough to be the best player on his team.
And he's going to be like the third or fourth best player on that Thunder team.
Yeah. Like,
that's crazy. It's, you know, there's a lot of questions, you know, if we're going to keep talking about Alpi and, you know, other, you know, centers in this league that either they don't have a piece of something. They either can't block shots or they can't shoot the three, you know, they can't defend, whatever it is. You're always trying to pair that kind of a player with somebody like Holmgren who can both protect the rim and, you know, defend and then also shoot the three. So, I mean, he unlocks the entire salary cap situation, you know, for a team. If you have that piece handled, you can start to really shop. I was talking a couple episodes ago about what to do with a guy like Sabonis. Well, if you had a Chet Holmgren, or you have, you know, I mean, Wembanyama is a little unfair, but like if you have that shooting, defending, rim protecting center, well, now you could go out, you could get a Sabonis and just be like, hey man, do Sabonis stuff and really, really gash the league with that. So I can't say enough about Holmgren from that perspective, and it's scary what the Thunder are going to do. Now, for Holmgren to be the best player on a team, what's the one skill do you think that he needs to really nail going forward?
Well, that's the self-creation. And I think that's probably the most individual valuable skill in the NBA is the ability to make shots by yourself without the aid of either a screen or any other assists. If you can get a bucket by yourself, that's insanely valuable and just can warp the court to yourself. As you're saying, if you have a player that takes a lot of boxes, that's useful too. But if you have a player who can create offense on his own, it just changes your whole team building constraints. I mean, I think we saw that with Luka Doncic, where, you know, he doesn't need too much outside help, except maybe definitely on the defensive end. But offensively, he's an engine onto himself. And that gives the Mavericks so many team building roster options. And they can just bring in, you know, Derek Jones Jr., PJ Washington, Derek Lively, and say, go defend, go finish plays. That's all you have to do. Do that well, we'll be happy. They went to the finals this year. So, I mean, I don't know if Chet has, you know, we'll call it the bag, or is a hooper, as kids would say these days. I don't know if he can get to that level. But, I mean, for fantasy, if you're talking still a good diet of threes and points and boards and field goal percentage and blocks and everything else he can provide, that's still very good for fantasy.
This one's coming from Brewski and Doc. Where are you looking at taking Jalen Johnson, and how mad are you at Kyle Kuzma?
I was annoyed by that. I know, Brew, you were on Jalen Johnson very early on last season. I was like, all right, let me take a little bit of a longer look at this guy. And I watched the first preseason game of the Hawks, and the way Quinn Snyder was utilizing Jalen Johnson and what he was showing, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm in on this guy too. Drafted him in my in that college fantasy basketball league I've been in for the past 11 years now. And I had some league mates asking me, how'd you know about Jalen Johnson? I was like, Sports Ethos. That's how I knew. And yeah, when he got injured, it kind of hurt my season a little bit. Now, getting to where he is for Dynasty, you all had him in the teens, I believe. But you also brought up, okay, well, how high can that scoring usage and self-creation usage go to? And that is the concern or issue I have with targeting that high, is that I'm not sure how much his offensive game can grow. He does have decent ball handling skills for forward, you know, pretty good hands, pretty good vision, can move the ball around nicely. But is he going to be someone who can demand enough usage to pump up those points and assists high enough? I'm not sold on that. He's a great cutter, great transition player, fantastic in that regard. But his self-creation moments for me are more off advantages created by others than he himself creating that advantage. And to really pump him up that high, I think we need to see a little bit more of that, or him just become more of a bomber from deep, which he's still a little lacking in that department.
I love this. That's exactly my hesitation with Jalen Johnson. Just now ranking him where I ranked him, I don't know who would be in and who would be out in your ranks. I'd have to crack open a premium membership at Sports Ethos and get a fantasy pass and check it out. Oh, wait, I work here. I can do that already. I think that question of, like, can he develop a higher-end shot? Can he develop that off the dribble? Because it feels like he's just relying on pure athleticism. He knows he can turn a corner against mostly anybody. He can set a screen. He can play those little connective passing games. That's where I really think he's, if you want to see high-end upside for him in the future, it's that he has the connective kind of thought process with the game. So he's already looking for those opportunities for assists. So that part's figured out. I just don't know if he's got that touch and ability to rise in fire to really become. It kind of reminds me of like Aaron Gordon in a sense. Like, he tried to become that guy and then he didn't. Will he be Aaron Gordon? Will he be able to actually bring something of a jumper to the equation? Let's go from extremely encouraging to just like a deep sigh. Jaren Jackson Jr., are you giving up on him?
I'm definitely not giving up, but sifting down a little bit, yeah. But the whole Grizzly season was just a complete mess. Jaren Jackson Jr. was kind of shoehorned into the lead scoring role and just literally gifted entitlement usage because, I mean, they had some interesting players, but I mean, no one that really mattered no one that mattered long-term for them. That's not entirely true, but no one who really was demanding the usage. And so they said, all right, Jaren Jackson Jr., show us what you got. His efficiency plummeted. He wasn't really, he was putting up numbers, but he was also shooting the ball a ton. So his upside's diminished in that regard. I think it's pretty clear he shouldn't have a massive scoring load. Shouldn't be the first option. Probably shouldn't be the second option. Pretty much fits into that third option, maybe even lower in the pecking order. That said, with the Grizzlies such a mess and with not really a big center on that team, he couldn't really do the defensive things that we've seen from him in the past. When we saw from his defensive player of the year candidacy, that was 2 years ago, I believe. So yeah, Jaren Jackson has his warts. He's not going to be as high pointed as we like. Y'all have spoken about his rebounding issues and warts, I think, on multitudes of pods, even though I think each time you also say, we're not going to bring it up too much, it always seems to come up. And I agree with you. He is not a great rebounder for his position and size. But, I mean, I think we can see him bounce back a little bit just with the Grizzlies getting their whole squad back together. Upside's diminished, yes, but he can still give you the rare, you know, blocks, threes, and some boards and some points from your big man position, which still has plenty of value. And he's still pretty young. He's only, I think, 26? So
I never signed anything that said I would not diss on his rebounding every time we talk about him. And it's also nice to know that I'm going to be able to get Jalen Johnson pretty easily when we have a draft together. So thanks for that, too.
That's like a preemptive trash talk right there. You're not going to get him because I'll get him.
You don't want him. You have the same concerns that he has. So that means he's going to be sitting there for me, and I'm going to have him. I'm super psyched.
This is the draft styles in a nutshell. Steve finds his guys, and he's just like, there's no chance you're going to get him.
And then, especially when somebody goes, guess what? He's not really a lock to be good. I'm like, okay, there's the challenge. I'm all in on Jalen Johnson.
Oh my God. So I also like the term entitlement usage, Mark. That's great. Yes. Is that another Mark special?
Oh, sure. We can make it one. I'm good with that.
I love that one. Entitlement usage is like all over the league. It's a scourge upon the league. I love it.
Yeah, Jordan Poole might be the poster child for that.
We were talking about Chet and the Oklahoma City squad a minute ago, and Bruschi said he's going to be like the third best player on his team. One of the players I think he might have been talking about that was going to be better than Chet is Jalen Williams. I love everything about Jalen Williams, and I want to have him on every team, every time. Where are you with Jalen?
Now, I love Jalen Williams. I think correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think I speak for all of us in that we love Jalen Williams. He's already an awesome basketball player, right?
Yeah. Love.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and ones we can count on to help us live our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like a Black Opal beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too, because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
Yeah, and you know, we spoke earlier about Jalen Johnson and how we're not sure about his on-ball game and how that's pretty important, and we've spoken about that with other players as well. Jalen Williams has that. He has it. He is, you know, you look at his individual shot-making metrics, they're actually really, really good. Especially considering he's only a second-year player. He's an older second-year player. He's 22 now, I believe. But he's someone I am fine giving the ball in crunch time, which how many players can you say that in their second season in the NBA in playoff settings? There's not many. And I think what's even more, I think, gives some insight to the Thunder's thinking is the fact they haven't yet gone all in on someone, you know, let's say quote-unquote better than Jalen Williams. With their loads of draft picks, you know, their big cap move was bringing in Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, a plenty good player, but he's not on Jalen Williams' level. And the fact they haven't brought someone in makes me think that they have faith that Jalen Williams can be that second best player on the title team and develop more. I do think he needs to absorb a little bit more usage, and I think he's actually off-ball shooting could be a lot better. He doesn't take as many threes as I think you think he does, but, I mean, other than that, he's someone who has the makings of this on-ball hub that you're fine giving the usage to and earns that usage. And I think we saw it last season, and we're just going to see him continue to grow and refine his game even further.
Yeah, and I mean, when if you can build a backcourt out of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams, you have size and conceivably enough quickness to handle almost anything. And that's your point of attack. Then you have Chet behind that and Isaiah. That's, I mean, so to your point, I think Sam Presti is sitting there and sort of licking his chops like, I constructed the perfect team and I have... Do we know how many assets he has left? I just stopped counting at whatever 57 first round draft picks. What has he got left in the holster over there?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. So that's pretty wild. And then in terms of like his overall game, what's his next step? Like his game is really, it's fun. I actually, when I first saw him, I thought, my God, this is like a well-adjusted James Harden when I first saw him his first season. And, I kind of feel like he does everything very well, doesn't have one thing that he's, really known for or deficient in. Is that how you see his game? And then if there is a thing that's going to take him up to that next level, what's it going to be?
So I don't think he has upper end elite athleticism. You know, his length and size is obviously really good, but he's not someone who's necessarily, quick off that first step, out jumping players and just bodying players right now. And his off-ball shooting, actually, I brought that up earlier, but he's taking about, I believe it's 3 or 4 three-point attempts per game, which really isn't actually that much. He does make some threes, hits them at a decent rate. I think he actually hits them above 40%, but I'd love for him to bump that volume up even more and just work on that game, maybe extending that mid-range shot out a little bit more. I mean, he is such a mid-range assassin that does he need to do that? No. But for fantasy, would I like to see him put up a little bit more threes? I think that's probably the key in opening up his game.
If he's able to do that, then you're looking at that question we had a few weeks back where we were asking which team had when was the last time a team had three players in like the first round for fantasy value? And I believe the answer was the Phoenix Suns, who had like four players like 12 years ago, 15 years ago.
The Thunder are definitely a team that's got that.
All right. Well,
got that kind of swag.
So, all right. We've done a big name rookie. Let's do who's like the lesser known rookie that you're high on. I know we want to try to keep things behind the paywall a little bit here at Sports Ethos. That's how we built this thing. And give our members the top cuts or the choice cuts. But is there somebody, that is a lesser known rookie that you're high on? We'll go ahead and give a little bit to folks.
Yeah, so one name I actually wanted to mention earlier with, I don't know how many people know his name, but Nikola Topic, who I love him. I think he was pretty high on my big board, both for fantasy and on the court. And he dropped a little bit. He's going to be recovering most of the season with a partially torn ACL injury in recovery. But I'm really interested to see where he comes up. Just earmark his name and keep him in the back of your mind as he's recovering, because he's not going to provide you production this year, but I think he could be very valuable in the future. Another lesser-known rookie, though, is Isaiah Collier, drafted 29th to Utah Jazz, which I personally thought was a travesty. He does have his warts, and his fantasy skill set may not be ideal. He doesn't have the greatest free throw percentage. His turnovers are a little higher than what you'd like, and his three-pointer does need some improvement. But he's another one of these players that could develop into an on-ball hub. And especially in this draft class, there was only a handful of players that I could see as what I like to call build-around pieces for teams, not just for Dynasty, but on the court. And Collier was one of those. He is a very physical guard, gets into the lane, had some of the probably the best rim penetration tape that I saw out of any of the rookies. And that's just not something you can teach. That's something you kind of have to possess. And I think Collier can really develop into that player. And if it's not clear by now, I really rate players who are worthy of that on-ball usage highly. And I think Isaiah Collier has a really good chance at that. And a recent rookie draft that I did in Dynasty, I actually traded back into the first for Isaiah Collier because I felt he was dropping too much and the value was too good for me to pass up.
Another Oklahoma City Thunder connect.
Nah. No. I just think his game is more three-point shooting, and I don't think the scoring we saw at Tennessee is going to translate too well on the Lakers. I don't think he's going to be worthy enough to get enough usage to really put up enough stats that we care about for fantasy.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty amazing at Tennessee. I think the Lakers was a terrible place for Connect to land.
We have to keep in mind Connect is 23 or 24 by now. And if you're playing against, you know, 18 to 21 year olds and you're 23, you have a little bit of inherent advantage there. So that's something where with college players and prospects, you have to keep in mind, you know, ages and how much they've spent already in college versus the opposition.
So Wemby is a hot topic and has been for like 2 years now. Is there a fantasy league that he is not the automatic number one pick in? And if so, I'm sure you'll tell us, like, who would you take in front of Wemby?
No, no one. Wemby's number one.
Who is two and three? And I don't want to go down your whole list because we got to save that. But who's like the next two? Is Jokic still the man?
I would have to double check. I'm pretty sure I'm bumped up Luka Doncic just ahead of Jokic, but in the same tier. I kind of use tiering for my rankings because there's a lot of factors that go into your dynasty team constructions.
Yeah, including pandering to Doc.
Yes, no, Wemby is in a tier by himself, so your player is number one. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm talking about his Luka thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that too. Yes, well, I mean, Luka improves his free throw percentage. We'll see if that maintains, but just upping the three-point volume, adding that to this game, at least providing steals, whether or not he's providing good defense is another question, but he's at least giving you steals. He's cleaning up some of the holes in his fantasy profile, which is awesome. It's awesome to see. I'm lucky enough to have him in one league, and I'm very happy for it. But going back to Wemby, I mean, yeah, he's a clear first pick in Dynasty. He's in contention to be the first pick in Redraft, and if he's that young and already in contention for the first pick in Redraft, there's really no way you could argue that he shouldn't be the clear first pick in any dynasty startup. Though I maybe have a slight hot take. I don't think he's a clear cut first pick in redraft, and he shouldn't be. And do you think I'm crazy on that?
No, but what about this question? Should he be illegal in dynasty startup leagues? Like, is it giving people Wemby at one? Is that going to just make the league impossible to play?
I don't think it'll be impossible to play. And to me, taking out a player who's as fun as Wemby is taking away, I think, why we all play fantasy basketball is for fun and for enjoyment of the game. So anything that curtails fun, I kind of am not a fan of. And almost, you know, the team that does have Wemby, they're going to be a strong team, probably for certain, unless the manager just mismanages their team. But I view that as a challenge. I'm like, I want to take down that 1B team. I want to show that I can, I guess, build a better roster than you and take you down, even though you have this supposed cheat code in fantasy.
As far as this season, you said you don't know if he's an automatic first pick in redraft leagues. The only way I see him failing is, one, if he gets hurt, and two, if the Spurs do go tank mode and try to get Cooper, and they sit Wemby every time he, you know, has a hangnail or whatever. If Pop does not play him, I could see that doing it. If he plays in 72 games, I don't see how anybody's going to put up better fantasy numbers than him this year.
So I have two things I may say, and maybe I'm crazy here, but first is with blocks. I think blocks are an interesting category because, you know, they're one of the lowest counting stats. And so anyone who gives you a lot of blocks kind of skews the, I think, rankings a little bit in that regard. And I'll hear the argument that he just can single-handedly win blocks for your team. You don't have to worry about that with him on your team. But I think that kind of skews a little bit of his impact or his measured impact as we tend to do it in fantasy. And I know that's kind of a lot of talk with a lot of centers. I know Walker Kessler was, I think, the poster child for that this past season, Jaren Jackson Jr. two seasons ago. And then I'm also concerned about his efficiency, which was definitely much better the second half of the season. But if the Spurs want to try to make him an on-ball hub and let Wemby work through his mistakes, we could see a little bit of inefficiency, or at least a field goal percentage that's not as high as we'd like. Again, maybe with Chris Paul in the room, that probably goes away. He actually has someone who will pass him the ball when he has a obvious mismatch down low, which was Jeremy Sohan's point guard was very not fun to watch, but that shouldn't be as much the case this season. So I think that concern's a little mitigated.
We probably shouldn't put Wemby at the end of a episode like this, because I feel like we could just go an hour on Wemby and the what ifs. Like, what if he just turns into the best point guard in the league? And you just, I'm kidding, of course. But like, you know, we just don't know with this guy, like what he could, you know, what could year two and three really look like for him? So we'll have to do that in another episode, Mark. Thank you, sir. I think listeners got a real treat here listening to Mark. I know that you are on your own podcast, so folks are already listening to you. But if you haven't had a chance to listen to Mark's podcast, you're definitely going to want to get in on that and follow him on Twitter for all of the details. It's MacAttack145, MacAttack145. And while we're doing Twitter handles, make sure you're following Ethos Fantasy NBA, Dr. A, DOCKTORA, and myself at Aaron Brewski. You'll get all of the info. You get the blurb feed. That's the number one reason to be there. You get free content, and it's really the best in the industry. Our blurb writers are in the trenches doing the hard work of making sure that the analysis is right and really delivering it to you in a way that you can consume it nice and quickly. So you get that at Ethos Fantasy NBA feed, and then also all of the promos for NBA Fantasy Pass. Right now, the passes are all at their lowest price they'll be forever. So if you get signed in right now, you get locked in for life as long as you keep that membership active. So check that out. I don't even know if that promo lasts longer than today. I'd have to check the marketing calendar over here, but get on over there. Check it out. We also have the NFL draft guide that's out right now. The NFL ADP tracker, I believe, is running. The NFL draft tracker is coming next. And anybody who's the NBA draft tracker, in combination with the Brewski 150 last season, knows how powerful that can be. So there's just a ton of stuff going on at Sports Ethos right now. Check out that All Sports Pass. I believe it's $7 a month, which is what the NBA price will be by itself here shortly. So any final words, gentlemen, before I take us all the way out of here? Doc, did you have any other questions for Mark?
My final comment is, and we don't need to talk about it, if I have the second or third pick in a dynasty or a redraft and I get Wemby there, I'm going to feel like I just won the lottery. I'm probably going to be running around the house. So that's all I got to say.
And Mark, and if we didn't really talk about our rankings at all. If you have anything that's like a bone to pick, feel free to throw it out there. But do you have anything else that you'd like to say to the listeners, anything you're working on, anything that you'd like to pitch, or just anything in general?
Well, yeah, I'll mention Giannis was noticeably, I think, off your all's list, as well as Devin Booker, which I know you all are a fan of Giannis's free throw percentage, but Devin Booker was a curious omission to me in the list of names of players that you all brought up.
He was right there for me. He was like right on the cusp. I don't know what it is. I'm a big Devin Booker fan, and I just, whether it's fantasy, like redraft, or that dynasty rankings, I just looked at him and was like, meh, I don't know.
I had Giannis and Booker like on the verge, but you know, I put Embiid in there even though I'll never draft him. And then I looked at Giannis. I'm like, I'm not drafting Giannis. I don't want the free throw percentage. I don't want the knee. I'm not dealing with it. So it was close. And Booker, I guess Booker could have been in there in front of a lot of these guys. But that's when it just comes down to gut feel, I guess.
Yeah, I did have Jaren Jackson Jr. in there. So I don't know, if I had another week or so, I'd have talked myself out of that one, I think, and probably bumped somebody like Devin Booker up there. Anyway, thank you so much, Mark, for bringing your expertise. And it's no shock why the coverage here is so good. So folks, get in there, follow Mark, follow those handles. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and ones we can count on to help us live our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like a Black Opal beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too, because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.